Three things that most people want to change in their lives. We're going to examine three and come up with some tips to build your life the way you want. And what if those three have a common thread? The three could become one. And in 32 years of working with people at the structural level, we are different creatures. We have different fingerprints. We have different DNA. There are something like 40 items, including our gait, qualities of our voice, our fingerprints, our footprints, our tongue prints, the shape of our ear, the venal pattern in the back of our retina. We are unique. You know, there's something like 3 billion genetic pairs that give us all the qualities that are unique to us. Yet, we are 99.9, I think the exact figure is 99.89, exactly the same. In other words, we come from the same God goo, 99.9% to be exact, of our genetic material is identical. In that 1,000th of 1%, that 0.001 is all the difference. And so if we have 3 billion, I'm pretty sure 1,000th of that is 3 million. In those 3 million pairs, genetic pairs, is all the differences that you will see in us. But if you look around at people, it's like looking at a dealership. All kinds of different vehicles, right? Some are two-door, some are four-door, some are have hatchbacks, some have hard tops, some have no tops. Some are two-seaters, right? Some go fast, some go slow, some carry a lot, some carry a little, just like all those human beings out there. So we all are different. And yet in the differences, there's great value. If we can see patterns, if we can see similarities, if we can understand what is the zip code that we should be in to help other people. And so as I searched beyond my own 20,000 people database, I wanted to see what people on the internet were talking about. When I typed in, what are the three things that most people want to change in life? I came up with some incredible answers. Hate, hunger, war, worldwide government policies, you know, the global economy, global protection, people's attitude towards labeling and stereotyping. You know, you don't know what you don't know. What is true for somebody might not be true for someone else. And one thing I've learned is there's a lot of lies out there. I'm a truth seeker. Matter of fact, today you're going to learn about truth therapy to identify the lie and replace it with the truth. But it's hard because in order to know what a lie is, you must first identify the truth. The only way the Secret Service knows how to deal with counterfeit money is they master all those unique qualities that make real money, real money. And when they know what makes real money, then it's easy to see a lie. There's a lot of things that we take as true. And today you're going to realize that it really doesn't matter what happens to people. What matters is the narrative. What matters is what we believe. Remember, Dr. Alfred Adler told us that by the time a child is 5 years old, the majority of their map of reality is in place. And nobody, not a single person, not you, not me, responds to reality. We respond to our map of reality. Why do you believe that two people can look at the same thing and see something totally different? You have people who are very patriotic who say, Donald Trump, MAGA. And they look at what the other side is doing and they're thinking, how unpatriotic. And then you have Biden supporters looking at the things that are going on and saying how patriotic they are and thinking Trump's a threat to democracy. And you got both people on opposite sides looking at the other side as unpatriotic, as evil, as dark. And yet they're looking at the same thing from two different perspectives and believing the other team is the problem. This is what a lot of answers I got on the internet, on Quora. When I keep asking, what are the top three things that people want to change? I don't know if you get it yet, but it's directional. It seems everybody's pointing out there. And here's the problem. The problem isn't out there. The problem is in here. I'm talking about when we want to live our lives like it matters. Remember, there are six elements of a well-formed outcome, and one of them is this. It must be within the realm of your control. And here's the problem. If it's all out there, then you have absolutely no control at all. We've been told that between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is our power. It is our freedom. we've got to go to the one thing that we have absolute control over, and that is ourselves. And I've been working in a life-changing field for over 30 years, and I go deep with people. You can go to wayofwarrior.training to read about it. And what most people really want to change based on their day-to-day living, I'm going to tell you right now, is they want to change the world, this out-there place, this broken, mean, hurtful world. The second thing that most people want to change is their partner, their life partner, their spouse, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, or if they are not married or in a relationship, they want to change their kids. And then number three, you know what I've realized most people want to change is their financial situation. They see the problem is out there. They don't see their part in it. Here's the thing. All three of those have factors that we have no control over. None of those three is totally within our control. If you play those three out, it all depends on other people. Not all of it, but there are key parts that depend on other people, other circumstances, other forces. Understanding that these forces we have no control over. It's kind of like those of you that want to make more money. You don't really want a whole bunch of more green pieces of paper. You want what you believe that money will get you. Freedom. More time with family. Able to send your kids to a great school or be able to clothe them properly. Be able to take care of their needs. Whatever it is. We got to realize that if we're going to change some things, we got to really decide what it is we want. So many people are focused on what they don't want. I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to be in a dead-end marriage. I don't. But what do you want? A lot of people are afraid of change. They don't believe they can change. They don't believe they have the power to change. But I'm going to tell you, all three of those are lies. But here's the problem. If you believe the lie, you act as if. If you believe the lie, then you start acting in accordance with the lie. If you believe the lie, you start thinking and doing and being in ways that support that lie. And then that lie becomes the truth. Why do you think lie detector tests are not admissible in most courts of law? Because it just registers the body's nervousness. And here's the thing. If you believe the lie, your body will treat it like it's the truth. Because what we believe is what we tell ourselves over and over and over. This is why we've got to look at our internal language. It is our self-talk. And really, what you're going to realize is all the things today that people want to change fall under the self-talk. They fall under our belief systems because anything we do or do not do is driven by belief. And this is why Gary Bishop, in his book, Un-F Yourself, Get Out of Your Head and In Your Life, he talks about how language changes our lives. He says the way we talk doesn't only affect us in the moment, it can seep in our subconscious and become internalized, changing our thoughts and behaviors in the long term. In real everyday terms, he says the way we talk to ourselves and others instantly shapes how we perceive life, and that same perception directly impacts our behavior right there in the moment. Ignore your perceptions at peril, he posits. Even worse, live with the illusion that you don't have perceptions. I don't know about you, but I hear it all the time. We hear people talking about how unfair life is. If you continue to tell yourself how unfair life is, you'll start to act according to that view. Perceiving slights where none exist, or as studies have shown, putting less effort into your work. Because why? You already know it won't matter. The unfair view becomes your reality, whether it's fair or not. On the other hand, if you view success as if it were just around the corner, you will not only work your butt off to achieve it, but you'll be sparked, energized, living it, all the while acting on that fundamental view of success. The belief system is so critical. There's a way to accomplish great things without that belief, but you make it harder on yourself. And if we get worried that we don't have the kind of personal belief, we can get it. We can change our beliefs. It's in our absolute control. We just got to check in. We got to be aware of what's going on. And this is where we need to ponder the statement. Are you willing to consider that your life is the way it is? Not because the weight of your circumstance or situation, but rather the weight of your self-talk. Is it pulling you down or lifting you up? I'm going to suggest that the number one thing we need to take a look at, that is our belief systems, which are reinforced and created by our self-talk. You see, it's more than just changing language. We need to get even more specific. In my 32 years of experience of working with tens of thousands of people intimately, what has become clear is that people believe what they tell themselves over and over and over. That all change, no matter what we're talking about, money, relationships, whatever it is, it really comes down to how we talk to ourselves. Dr. Shad Helmstetter wrote a great book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. In his analysis of what worked and what did not, he found three ingredients which were clearly missing from almost all the other literature and trainings. I want to share those three with you. Number one, the first missing ingredient is permanence. All external solutions are temporary. Even the best of ideas work only for a time. Few, if any, built-in ways to keep them working. I've yet to find a book that jumps down off the shelf, taps you on the shoulder each morning and says, hey, remember me? Remember what I taught you? Why aren't you still living it? He goes on to say the second ingredient missing for most of the success literature is a knowledge of the physiological process of the human brain based on what we now know about actual mind-brain functions. He says without an understanding the actual process by which the human brain accepts information and in turn responds, directs, and controls us, it would be difficult to create any success plan that worked and kept working indefinitely. The brain runs the ship, he says. If you want to make a permanent change of any kind, you've got to follow the rules. If you want to make a change and make it stick, you've got to do it. The brain works. This is one of the tremendous benefits of our leadership awakening class at wayofwarrior.training. In just 48 hours, we are able to create a proven environment to generate massive change in your life. We focus in on these three missing ingredients from all the other trainings and books out there. You get to spend 2.5 days working on you. Investing in ourselves is the best investment we can ever make. You can go to wayofwarrior.training to learn more about it. And here's the point of Shad's introduction today. He said the third missing ingredient is a new word-for-word set of instructions. Don't you hear it? He calls it programming to the subconscious mind. Remember, majority of our experience on this planet is unconscious. We're told we only use 3 to 5% of our brain consciously. We use the whole brain, and the rest is still being used as at the unconscious level, and I agree with it. This means specific programming vocabulary, which is worded in a specific way that anyone can use at any time to erase, replace the old negative programming with positive, productive, new directions. So let's keep refining this. What are the three things that most people want to change? They want to change their self-talk. There's two types of talk. It's always intrapersonal and interpersonal. The way we talk to other people and the way we talk to ourselves. The way we talk with others is really the one that most of us focus on, but really just figuring out the way we talk to ourselves is critical. What do you think depression is? What do you think the base of poor mental health is? Poor emotional intelligence. We're holding on to the wrong things. We're holding on to bitterness, resentment, pounded flesh, record wrong. You know, love carries no record wrong. Love doesn't rejoice when other people hurt. See, it all comes from our self-talk. What are the three things that most people want to change? They're going to change their focus. Instead of focusing on being bitter, focusing on being better. Instead of keeping a record wrong, keeping a record right. Instead of keeping the spirit of offense alive as the bait of Satan in your life, what if you're actually to have mercy and grace and understanding? Can I suggest that a third thing that most people want to change, even if they don't realize it, they want to change their location. They want to get into the now moment instead of living in the past. They want to get to the now moment instead of living in some future that's not guaranteed. They want to change their location to quit just going through the motions, living day by day, just a squirrel working to get our nut. To dream big, to shoot for the moon, to create some goals outside of our comfort zone. To stretch, to push ourselves, to take a risk and maybe fall down. And instead of staying down and feeling sorry for ourselves, we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, and we hit it again and again and again and again. Like God told Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a future, plans of hope." What do people want to change? They want to stop being helpless and hopeless. Helpless and hopeless says today is bad and tomorrow is not going to be any better. Don't you see the change of location? But hope springs eternal. But hope lifts the eyes up. But hope says no matter what's going on today, tomorrow can be better. That's what John Sharp meant when he said the future is not some place we're going to, but a place we're creating. As a man of vision, I believe if we want to fix things in our country and our world, the change has to be at the level of cause. And that means us. We are the problem. We are the solution. I just finished our first class ever called Emotional Intelligence. And I love teaching our Emotional Intelligence class. And in that class, I get to show people how they work, how they process information, and exactly what to do to change the things that aren't serving them well. But here's the best part. We also get to learn how people around us work so that we can be better. Better at being a husband or wife, better at being a mother or father, better at being a boss or an employer, better at being a good friend or better friend. Does it make sense? If you can understand me a little bit better and I can understand you a little bit better, we are in a position to have a better relationship. And similarly, if you can understand you a little bit better and I can understand me a little bit better, does it make sense that we're going to be more congruent, more at peace, more hopeful? Check it out on wayofwarrior.training. If we want to change our world, we got to change our thinking. Three things we need to change. And this is what most people think. They want to change their minds. They want to change their hearts. They want to change their attitudes. But where do those come from? They all come from our self-talk, the way we talk to ourselves. Our minds are products of what we rest them on. Our hearts are nothing more than the center of our focus, and our attitude is the way we tell ourselves things over and over and over. It is a series of choices. In my humble opinion, what needs to be changed are expectations, our willingness, our focus. Are we forgiving? Are we keeping a pound of flesh? What do we do with our pain? Notice, all of these I keep bringing up go back to one thing. Our self-talk, the way we do things, the way we explain things to ourselves, the narrative. Those are the things that truly matter. It's about our willingness. Are you willing? What are you willing to do to start this new process? We've got to tell ourselves, stop blaming other people. Stop blaming luck. Stop pointing to outside influence or circumstances. Stop blaming our childhood. We cannot dwell in the blame game in our life. This is what destroys us. We've got to be aware of our self-talk, the way we communicate to ourselves. Again, we have 16 to 18,000 thoughts per day. The pain is real. The symptoms are real. But what's happened, it started in our thoughts, our bitterness, our resentment, our regret. Are you willing to quit looking out there and look inside? Are you willing to switch from victim to victor? Are you willing to go from better from bitter? Are you willing? It's the key. You must be willing to fully embrace the concept that the problem is not out there. It's in here. That we are 100% responsible for what we do with our life, no matter what the events, every time, always. The dictionary describes willingness as the quality or state of being prepared. It's readiness. Willingness is a state in which we engage with life and see a situation from a new perspective. No one responds to reality. We respond to our perception of reality. We gotta realize it starts and it ends with us. No one can make us willing. We cannot move forward until we really are willing to make the next move. We've got to decide, am I willing to work on that project? Am I willing to face my fears? Am I willing to ask for this? Am I willing to forego desserts? Am I willing to sacrifice what I eat? Am I willing to hold my tongue? In short, are we willing to stop living the life we've been living up till now and start living the life that we're after? It's a key. We are a master generator of a state of openness and potential, but we gotta believe it. See, this is what we must realize. We are product of our environment. Our environment is either gonna help us or hurt us. And the greatest environment we have is between the stimulus and response. The greatest environment we have is our head, because we live in it all the time. The battle is in the mind. Between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is our power and our freedom. One of the greatest environments that we live in is our thoughts. We are in there 24/7. It doesn't matter who we share our bed with, if anybody. We all have to sleep with ourselves. And this is why it's absolutely critical to understand the power that we have to change. But I don't care what it is you want to change. You pick your three things that you want to change. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you start meditating down and start asking yourself how and why, you're going to realize that you have to change your thinking about that thing. It comes down to your beliefs. It is our beliefs that guide our actions. It is the ultimate environment. However, we're going to maximize the potential, then it is a requirement. And let's be honest, sometimes no choice is better than choice. Again, when we're talking about communication, we're always talking about two types, interpersonal, between two people. This is the majority of communication training out there. Conflict resolution, marriage counseling, sales training, handling objections, negotiating skills. And that's important. The second type of communication is intrapersonal communication. Within one entity, it is self-talk. It is talking to ourselves, as what most people call thinking. And I'm going to tell you right now that I believe it is the most important of the two communications. The way we talk to ourselves is the frame. It is the filter around how we talk to other people. Well, filters are things that are used to eliminate things. When we use them in email, they weed out what or whom that we don't want to be identified with or read their emails, right? And what is left is what we use, what contributes to our meal, what contributes to our engine, what contributes to our sanity. That is how our mind works. It filters out things. It has some patterns, and then it realizes what we must be doing or what is reality. The problem is a lot of those belief systems, a lot of those filters are put in place without us noticing it. The way we talk to others and ourselves instantly shapes how we perceive life. The same perception directly impacts our behavior immediately. This is why we got to take it from the unconscious to the conscious. Conscious, decisive self-talk is the means to take control of our life, of our career. This is what Bishop talked about, using strong, assertive, positive language over time can create lasting change. We must speak in a way that is helpful, not harmful. Using the right kind of language, framing our problems in a more readily accessible light. Perceiving, behaving, becoming. That is our choice. So we can take control of our thinking, how we talk, what we think about, how we perceive our surroundings. This is within our realm of control. This is why there are so many incredible brain scientists, authors, caregivers talking about the power of our self-talk. Assertive self-talk is when you stake a claim for this moment, right here, right now, versus sometime in the future. You've got to own it. There's a massive difference between I am and I will be. This is the one that says, stop blaming luck. Stop blaming other people. Stop pointing to outside influences and circumstances. Stop blaming your childhood or your neighborhood. Be accountable to yourself and know that you have the power. That's where hope comes in. You have the power. Our self-talk can be a nuisance or a stepping stone. Our thoughts can hold us down or lift us up. We've got to decide, problem or opportunity. It is not what happens to us that makes us who we are. It is what happens in us. Instead of getting wrapped up in pronouns, it's time to get the right prepositions. A preposition is a word or group of words used before a noun, a pronoun, or noun phrase. What does it do? It shows direction, time, place, location, spatial relationships. Remember, we were told, I think it's John 20, when Jesus was doing the Lord's Prayer, praying over the disciples. When he basically said, they are in the world, but not of the world. This is where we've got to decide, are we going to be a chocolate chip cookie? Or are we going to be the chocolate chip in the cookie? You see, those chocolate chips were put in that 350-degree temperature, just like the butter and the flour and the eggs and the oil. But because the butter and the flour and the eggs and the oil were of the cookie, they couldn't be removed. But chocolate chips are made in such a way that even under the pressure of 350 or 400 degrees temperature, they don't break. They don't change form. They are the one thing that you can pull out of that cookie. You are the one, the only one, who can take control of what's going on between your stimulus and response. You are the one, the only one, who has control of what's going on in your head. One tree can start a forest. One smile can begin a friendship. One hand can lift a soul. One word can frame a goal. One candle can wipe out darkness. One laugh can conquer gloom. One hope can raise your spirits. One touch can show you care. One life can make the difference. Be that one today. And that one that we need to encourage most is ourselves. And the way we do that is through a controlled thought life. That's what the love chapter is about in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I'm just a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Don't you understand why? Because love controls its self-talk. Because love's not keeping a record of wrong. Love's not keeping a pound of flesh. See, if our thought life is not in order, then we will be confused. We'll become bitter, angry, fear-based. We'll become weak. We'll let others define who we are. We'll let others define our actions. We won't have the confidence to speak up, to step up. Our motives will be questioned. Our reason for taking action will be questioned for speaking up or out. This is why we got to fight our good fight, and you got to figure out what that good fight is. But I'm going to tell you right now, of all the things you want to change, and you could pick your three things, I'm going to tell you right now, it all comes down to one, the way we talk to ourselves. Take control of your thinking. That's the key. To structure our thinking in a way that supports our behavior and thus reinforces the identity that God gave us. For this is the true good fight. Of all the battles out there, the true good fight is the fight for our God-given identity. And it's going to be reinforced or destroyed based on our self-talk, based on those 16,000 to 18,000 conversations we have with ourselves. Remember, it's all about BS. When I say BS, I'm not talking about cow pies in Texas. I'm talking about belief systems. No matter what we want to change, we've got to deal at the belief system level. And sometimes we gotta question ourselves to figure this out. We've got to go inside and take a look at those 16,000 to 18,000 thoughts per day and ask ourselves, are they truthful? Are those words supporting me in being greater today than I was yesterday, better tomorrow than today? Are you believing the truth? Or you believe in some lies? Remember legendary magician Harry Houdini? Well, when he was coming into a town to do a show, he often went to the local jails. He would create a gathering of people along the way, and they would follow him to the jail. They'd get buzz going about his upcoming performance, and he'd start going around doing little shows on the street like Chris Angel used to do, and he's basically would get a following of people following him, and then he'd actually go to jail, and he would actually ask the jailer to lock him in the cell. And time after time, jail after jail, town after town, Houdini escaped within minutes. And it caused people the excitement, and then it increased the numbers of people who showed up to the show. It was great business. It was great money. But one jailer who had heard that Houdini was coming, and he said he wanted to trick the trickster. So this time, the jailer was ready to deal with the magician. So Houdini shows up to the jail. Houdini had the sheriff close the cell door. But this time, what the jailer did was he put the key in the lock and he secretly turned it in the wrong direction. He then removed the key, and everyone watched as Houdini struggled to escape by unknowingly locking himself in repeatedly. See, the jailer lied. Instead of locking the gate, he unlocked it. So every time Harry Houdini flipped the lock, he went from unlocked to locked. He was so frustrating because every time he attempted to get out, he was unknowingly actually locking himself in repeatedly, time after time after time. Finally, in frustration, Houdini admitted he could not escape. The jailer then revealed his deception. You see, Houdini had believed a lie, and the lie had held him captive. You see how it comes down to a bunch of BS, our belief systems? Everything we do or do not do is driven by belief. If we're going to make any lasting change in any area, we've got to deal with our beliefs, the structure of what our experience is. God is our creator. He's our manufacturer, and God knows this. God incarnate said himself, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what is faith? It's a belief system. Think about this. Part of the process of cleaning up is that we've got to understand it's our beliefs. We've got to understand what are our beliefs. And where our beliefs come from? What we say over and over and over and over and over. That's what we believe. And we got to ask ourselves questions as we check into our belief systems. Why do I believe this? Is this belief valid today? Does this belief serve me in becoming the person that God put me here to be? Or if you do not believe in a personal God, does that belief allow you to be the best version of yourself? See, so many people work on the surface. But if we're going to fight our good fight, we must first commit to some personal lie detection. If we're going to experience the abundant life that Jesus has created us to live, then we got to do some truth therapy. We've got to check into our self-talk. We've got to identify any lies. We identify the lie and replace it with the truth. Remember, it was Jesus who said the truth will set you free, but it was Garfield who said first it's going to make you uncomfortable, maybe even miserable. What are we telling ourselves over and over that is keeping us locked in, wondering why we can't get out? Albert Ellis, one of the forefathers of modern psychology, said if human emotions largely result from thinking, then one may appreciably control one's feelings by controlling one's thoughts or by changing the internalized sentences or self-talk with which one largely created the feeling in the first place. In other words, Ellis found, I guess is the right word, that how we think and talk about our experiences shifts the way we feel about them. Our thoughts are bedfellows with our emotions. Again, I like to reference Gary Bish's work in Un-F Yourself, Get Out of Your Head and Into Your Life. He talks about the power of thought. He references experiments done by Professor Will Hart of the University of Alabama. He conducted 4 experiments in which participants either recalled or experienced a positive, negative, or neutral event. They found that people described the neutral event in ways that suggested it was ongoing actually felt more positive, and when they described a negative event in the same way, they experienced more negativity. In simple terms, the language we use to describe our circumstances determines how we see, experience, and participate in them, and dramatically affects how we deal with our lives and confront problems both big and small. He goes on to say the connection between what we say and how we feel has been known for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. The good news, studies have continually found that positive self-talk can dramatically improve mood, boost confidence, increase productivity, and more. The bad news is the reverse is also true. Negative self-talk can not only put us in a bad mood, it can leave us feeling helpless. It can make small problems seem bigger and even create bigger problems where none existed before. Both the Bible and modern science teach us that our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. The key to understanding this is to live a self-examined life. Paul said it best, examine yourself to see if you're still in the faith, to see if you still have the right belief system. So we must question ourselves. Then we need to be asking questions of ourselves like, do I like the directions my thoughts are taking me? We've got to decide to change our mind, and then God can change our life. If we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of having our life poisoned by toxic thoughts, of being held hostage by those inner voices, well, now it's time to get ourselves out of the cage. Are we unnecessarily locking ourselves into a cage because we are believing lies, lots of lies, lies about our identity, lies about our capabilities, lies about what is acceptable behavior? Our thoughts should be captivating. It's a great word. Captivating means capable of attracting or holding interest. We are called to hold our thoughts captive. Isn't that great? Captivating. We're hold to hold our thoughts captive, to focus only on those things that are good and pure, to transform our thinking, our self-talk. You want to change. You crave close relationships but are paralyzed by the fear of rejection. You want to do something new but assume you're destined to fail. You long to be debt-free and give generously but feel certain that could never be who you are. You dream of losing weight and exercising but feel resigned to fail yet again. You want to change but think you never can. Why? Well, it's because up until now, you've been constrained by a lie. Something that you believe, but that doesn't exist. And this enemy has arranged enough hurtful circumstances in key places of your life in which you got just enough of a jolt, a bit of a shock, a sting of pain, that you've decided no longer to even make effort. It's just not worth the risk. And you know what makes it worse? Is that the number of places where you have stopped making effort has grown larger and larger. Up until now, that's why we're here at Way of Warrior. That's why we do wayofwarrior.training. See, the key to changing our lives is to change our self-talk, which supports and creates our belief systems, which create behavior that allows us to believe in who we are and what we deserve and what we can do about it. This is our good fight. This is what I'm here for, to encourage you, to equip you, to inspire you, to help you create the environment so you can change your life. And it starts with changing your thinking. And it starts with this thought. When you live your life like it matters, it does. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please like this show and subscribe to get more great content like this. Also, I'd love to hear from you, so please leave me a review. If you would like more information or you would like to connect with me, please visit wayofwarrior.training. That's wayofwarrior.training.